Hoopball Podcast listeners, are you a fantasy expert and want to write or podcast for Hoopball? Do you have aspirations of covering a team? Are you a master of sales and want to earn some cash on the phones? Well, we've got good news. Hoopball's recruiting. If you think you have what it takes, hit us up at Hoopball Fantasy on Twitter or by emailing teamhoopball at hoop-ball.com. Again, that's at Hoopball Fantasy on Twitter or emailing teamhoopball at hoop-ball.com.
The following is a Hoopball presentation.
Ballers, welcome back to another episode of Today in Sports Betting. It is June 10th, Wednesday, 2020. I'm your host, Ira Silver. I'm excited for this one. I don't know a whole lot about it, but I got an expert on here to help me out. Lyle Swithenbank. Lyle, what is going on, man? We're going to talk a little bit about some Aussie rules today. Are you excited? Because I know I am.
I'm very excited. Yeah, I don't know about expert, but I've lived and breathed this sport, I suppose, since I was born. So I guess if anyone's got an idea of it, I'll try to claim the title of expert. We're glad to be here. Thanks for having me.
Yeah, you're definitely more of an expert than I am, that's for sure. And you know me, I love to make some bets and have some fun. So, you know, guide me in the right direction here. Guide our listeners in the right direction. And let's see if we can make a little bit of money this week, the end of the week and the weekend, betting on some Aussie rules. So I'll open up the conversation here and talk a little bit about, you know, the league, maybe get into some of the differences between the U.S., American football and Aussie rules football. So why don't you give us a little brief rundown on what the difference is here in, you know, I've watched a little bit of Aussie rules football. I've done a little homework, not too much, just prepping for the show. But give us a little bit of insight. What is the difference between Aussie rules football, AFL, which is the main league there, and American football?
Yeah, so I suppose it's sort of a hybrid sport between, I was thinking about this off air actually, and I suppose it's a bit like a cross between soccer and rugby, the AFL or the Aussie rules is. I mean, we're played on an oval shaped field rather than the gridiron, the square, so or the rectangle. So that's probably the first and most obvious difference. I mean, we have four posts at either end for scoring. So you've got your goals in the middle, which count for 6 points, and then if you miss, you get 1 point, which is a point on either side. So that's the scoring system. It's a 360 game as well, and I don't think there's many games out there that are like that. It's continuous basically all the time, except for where free kicks and stuff are given. If there's a penalty, that's where you'd have a bit of a stoppage. But otherwise, the ball can move either which way at any time. There's no offense and defensive teams like you would get in the NFL and special teams. This is just 18 guys on the field that play in various positions throughout the field, so forward, midfield, and back. And that is basically the main differences, I suppose, is that your whole squad that you bring into a game is 22, and rather than the 40 or so guys that you'd have in an NFL team that would come out and play their various roles. Guys have to be able to play, I suppose, hybrid positions all the way through. So if you're a midfielder, you also need to have the ability to kick goals. You've also got to be able to push back and defend. So it is a sort of 360 game built on an oval and continuous for the most part. Pretty exciting game, very athletic and very hard. It's we don't play with any pads either. So it is, you put your mouth in and, you know, you get bumped or you get tackled. Well, you just got to wear it. There's no protection whatsoever. So
right. That's, yeah, no, it's really interesting. I was definitely doing a little bit of homework before our interview here and conversation regarding the league. And we're going to dive into some betting matchups and some, you know, maybe some picks later on in the show. But, you know, what I thought was very interesting to me was, like what you pointed out earlier, is it's a hybrid of soccer and rugby. And I recently, because of the pandemic that has kind of swept the world, I've really gotten into well, football, or as they call it, soccer, in the U.S. here. Been playing a lot, video games, FIFA, and watching the Bundesliga as it restarts, and you know, watching a little bit of the highlights and the reel on AFL. It's really reminded me of it, and I kind of really enjoyed what I saw, and I really think that I'm going to get a little bit deeper and dive a little deeper into this league, and it just seems like a lot of fun, and it's just constant. I mean, just physical, and the guys that are in the league are just specimens. I mean, they are very, very well built, athletic. It's just, I wish I had those kind of bodies. You know what I mean?
Yeah, I mean, don't we all? it's one of those sports that these guys have to be able to run kilometers and kilometers at a time in a game. So, you know, there's guys, they do the running trackers and the like, and there's some guys like Andrew Gaff and these high running midfielders that'll just go back and forth the whole game, and they might run, I don't know, 15 to 18 kilometers a game. And so to be able to have that, as well as being able to carry yourself and be strong and being able to jump and move, you're also doing the kicking action in while you're at full sprint. So, you know, that is a different technique in itself to be able to master that. I've seen a lot of people come across and haven't grown up playing the game, just completely, you know, not have any concept as to how to do it. It's a pretty coordinated sort of thing. And even those that do it for many years still can't. I'm one of those guys and can't very well at all. But, you know, then we see this translation where we're getting some guys that can kick 50, 60 metres, then come across at the end of their careers and play in the NFL. So we had like Ben Graham, Sav Rocca, these guys that played in the AFL and then came across and became punters after that. So that kicking action, I think, is pretty unique to the AFL, and then it translates again into the NFL. So there's a little bit of a crossover there.
They talk about that on the NFL. I mean, it's becoming more prevalent, definitely, in the National Football League here in the U.S., is that a lot of these a few of these Aussie rules guys have moved over, become punters with this cool technique called what I'm familiar in the term that they use on the broadcast here in the U.S. is the drop kick, which is a different technique than what most punters in the NFL use to kind of launch their ball. So the drop kick kind of sets up an interesting dynamic with the special teams on either side of the ball and the person who is going to be receiving and returning that kick in the NFL. So I think it's so interesting. Talk to me here about a couple things. I read and listened to a couple things before, like I said, before we got on here, and I found it interesting that if you're running with the football, well, they call it a football?
Yeah, football.
So when you're running with the football in Aussie rules, in the AFL, you have to bounce the ball every 16 yards?
Yeah, so every 15 meters.
First of all, who keeps track of that? That's number one. Who keeps track of if they went 17 yards or they made the cutoff at 16? That's number one. And number two is, how do you bounce that ball? I mean, what is the ball made of? I know if I tried to bounce an American football, that is just, I don't know where that's going.
Yeah, so it's made of leather. So, yeah, it's a shape. I should have brought one. I could have shown you. Basically, it's made of leather, sort of oblong, shapey, round at the rounded point. So you bounce it so that it lands on the front point, and then it'll bounce back up to you. Basically, the umpires are the ones that dictate, and there's typically, I think, there's three umpires in an AFL game on the ground, so they'll calculate how far you've run. But the way we sort of do it is about 10 to 12 steps, depending on how big your steps are, I guess, is where you would do it. But, I mean, that is obviously very subjective, and at times there's been goals that have made it onto the front page of the newspaper the next morning saying, well, the bloke's run 40 metres and he's only bounced it once. And, you know, so it is a subjective thing, but typically you can see when this bloke's just carried it for too long and hasn't bounced it, and then they'll say you've run too far, and that's a turnover.
Right. And also, when you pass the ball in Aussie rules, you have to punch the ball out of your hand with the other hand, which I thought was very interesting. I think I'm a pretty athletic guy, but I don't know if I can really, I don't know if I'd be able to get on the field and play this sport. It seems very difficult. And if you don't have the right techniques, which I feel like if you're definitely an older if you're not a kid growing up with the sport, to learn how to bounce the ball while you're running and to then either kick the ball to your teammate or to punch the ball out of your hand 20 yards down the field to your teammate. Very difficult. Is there certain techniques that these players use, or it's just kind of a feel kind of thing and you just get better as you go along in practice?
It was definitely practice, and we have an American that played, well, a couple of Americans, I think, that have come across and played in the AFL. There's Mason Cox, who plays for Collingwood. So he's a big American who played in college basketball and then came out worked out here and plays full forward. Yeah, so in the forward line for the Collingwood Magpies. He's had to learn it from scratch, and it is definitely a... I suppose it's something that you learn and then you get better at the more you do. In terms of a handball, which is the punching out of your hand, you use the you make a fist and then you sort of use the front of your fist to punch it forward. But if you drop that bottom hand, then you get done for a throw. So it is a sort of one movement where you're punching it out of your hand but not dropping that other one at the same time because you get done for throwing the ball. So, it's a quiet technique, but I suppose the more you do it, the easier it becomes.
Right. And talk to me. I know there's some certain terms that I'm not too familiar with, but I know there's four posts that you can score in, and you alluded to it earlier. If you kick it between the two narrow posts, it's 6 points. And if you score between the other two wider posts that surround those two other posts, you score 1 point. So talk to me about how a typical game works in terms of maybe accuracy. I don't know what the right term is, but maybe accuracy or percentages, things like that. What are we looking for? You know, in like a baseball, you know, if a batter hits 300, you know, he's a pretty decent hitter. That means he's getting on base, you know, that means he's getting a hit 3 out of 10 times. Right. So what are the kind of the percentages we were looking for in a, so on, so forward or striker, to kind of be able to kick that through the narrow post and the wider post? Where are we looking at here?
In terms of percentages, it's not a stat that people really, record. Like, it's not something like field goal percentage or anything like that that you would have in a lot of the American sports. But I mean, a decent night for someone playing out of the full forward, if you kick 5 goals, you'd be having a pretty good night. So straight through the middle, 6 points. If you kick that 5 times, you'd be pretty happy with that. You might get maybe 7 or 8 set shots, I suppose, and then maybe a couple on the run as well. So set shot is where you've marked the ball and then you get to go back and take your kick.
Is that like because of a penalty or something like that?
Sort of, but you can get it from a free kick. So if someone has infringed against you, then you'll get a set shot. So you'll get to go back and take your kick rather than having to be on the run and people can tackle you. So with a set shot, you go back and basically no one can touch you while you're doing that and you have 30 seconds to then go and take a kick at a goal. Some forwards, it all depends on the weather as well. You know, you've got a bit of wind, different kicking styles. But some of the good forwards will kick maybe 80, maybe 70 to 80 goals in a season, thereabouts. So they're the real top guys. So, I mean, across 18 games, thereabouts. I think last year's Coleman was, which is the leading goal scorer for the whole league, kicked. Bear with me. I had that stat.
I'm just trying to see, like, in terms of scoring, whether or not, you know, it's like hockey or is it like, is it more like soccer? It seems like it's more like a hybrid between soccer, hockey, and maybe baseball in terms of, you know, how often or how successful you're going to be on those tries.
So I mean, a lot higher percentages than soccer and hockey and that. So, I mean, scores will get up around 80 to 90 for a game. So, you know, for each goal is even more. So you probably get up around 100, I suppose, is pretty average for a team to score. But it all depends on the different playing styles as well. So some teams are a bit more defensive, so it might be a lower scoring game. but it just depends as well with your team makeup. So if you've got a dominant forward, he might kick 5 goals and you've got a higher scoring game, and you might have midfielders that score goals, whereas other teams might just kick 10 goals for the whole game and you'll be done with that, and that might be enough because you've kept the other team because your defence is so good. In terms of if you went forward, you'd have a shot on goal every 30 seconds in a free-flowing game, I suppose, thereabouts, maybe less, and you'd get some sort of score out of it pretty often. So it's not like hockey where you'll bash it in and just wait for it and then you get deflected a lot. You'll get a lot more scoring shots in this game. It's pretty fast-moving and once you kick a goal, it goes back to the middle and then you do it all again. Throw the ball up and the midfielders, the ruckman contest for it, and then the midfielders get hold of it and send it forward and we do it all over again.
Now, before we get into the betting lines, I just want to ask you one quick question. Why would someone get a free kick in terms of because the other player is impeding their progress? I saw that you're allowed to tackle the player between the shoulders and the knees. So is that the only time there's going to be a free kick awarded by the referee, is when you are making an illegal tackle? Or are there any other certain circumstances under which way you can achieve a free kick or an uncontested shot?
So there's hundreds of them. And every year they seem to add more.
Just give me a couple. So keep it simple for the guys who don't really know what we're talking about here.
So the main ones, like you said, illegal tackle. So if you're around the neck too high, is one, too low as well. So that'll be tripping and you can get reported for that. So then you'll go to the tribunal and you might get a suspension or a fine for tripping. Another one, running too far. So if you don't bounce the ball, that'll be a free kick, the turnover. If in a marking contest you're holding the man down, so say your opponent goes up for the mark and you grab hold of him and don't allow him to jump or you block him, that's another free kick. An arm chop, again, in a marking contest. So if you punch the guy's arms instead of the ball, that'll be a free kick. They're probably the main ones that I suppose come to mind more often than not. If you infringe after a free kick's already been given, then you get a 50-metre penalty. So that'll advance the ball down the ground again. So things like running through the mark once it's been set, so the guy's gone back to take his kick and someone runs through the mark, then that's a 50-metre penalty. Abuse to the umpires, things like that. Anything that's a bit dirty, elbows and stuff like that, obviously aren't encouraged. Unrealistic marking attempt. So if someone tries to jump on someone else's back, to take a mark up in the air and it was just unrealistic and they didn't get near the ball, that's another time where they might give a free kick away. Push in the back as well. So instead of going for the ball, you push the man directly in the back, your opponent, then that'll be a free kick as well. So there's a few different ones, but they're probably the main ones. Push in the back and high tackle are probably the most common, I think, that we would get.
Okay, perfect. Now, let's dig into some fun, juicy stuff here. Before we get into some key matchups and maybe some betting picks and some free picks out here for the end of the week and the weekend in these upcoming matches, let's start with a very simple maybe explanation of how you analyze a game. How do you go about handicapping a game when one team is playing another? When there's a certain favorite, certain underdog you like, what is the most important about their playing styles that you think are really taken into account here? Are there any key stats you look at when handicapping a game? Is home field important? Is it what happens when a very offensive-minded team takes on a very defensive-minded team? Where are the edges here in Australian rules, and what are you kind of looking for when you're about to make a wager on a game?
So the league is sort of balanced in a way that the top half of the league, so there's 18 teams, the top half is fairly even for the most part. There might be two or three that are miles ahead, otherwise the rest is fairly even, and then the bottom half are usually pretty average. So you can sort of tell that apart. home field advantage is a huge thing, especially for the interstate, well, the non-Victorian teams. So half of the league is basically made up of teams based in Victoria. The league expanded out of Victoria into an Australian league by adding in West Coast Eagles and Brisbane Lions, or Brisbane Bears at the time, bit of history. So that's definitely a big thing. So I know that when the West Coast Eagles play, which is my team in Perth, they're very hard to beat because you get the crowd behind them, exactly like any other sport. It's like having an extra guy on the field. Other things you'd look for, whether or not they've got a good form against that team, whether or not they play well at that ground, because all the grounds aren't uniform. So they're all different sizes, which makes it difficult. Like the SCG, Sydney Cricket Ground, where Sydney plays, is a lot smaller than the MCG, where the majority of the Victorian teams will play and they'll be used to playing. It was also smaller than our Optus Stadium in Perth. So things like that. If a defensive team comes up against an offensive team, you've got to have a look at who's in. The injuries is definitely a big part of it. You might have 18 guys in the team, but if they're missing someone that's important, maybe a key centre-half back or a full forward or a midfielder that might be able to move the ball and is pretty highly touted, they're guys that you need to keep an eye on as well. But for the most part, it is difficult to pick depending on the quality of each team's list. So teams like West Coast, like Collingwood, Richmond, they're all very good sides with a lot of good players, high-quality midfielders and key forwards that can score, as well as fairly solid backline. West Coast is a pretty good, very good backline, actually. So you've just got to weigh it up. You've got to see where the personnel are. You've got to see the size advantage, the weather conditions as well. If it's wet, then the taller guys don't typically do as well. So West Coast has a very tall forward line. In the rain, you go with them because they're a good side, but that's something you have to take into consideration. So different teams adapt to different weather conditions. We play in winter, so you get a lot of rain and the like, depending on where you're playing. So those are all probably the key things to have a look at. Weather, home court advantage, and the injuries, I think, would be the key ones.
Okay. Now, I know you alluded to Richmond and Collingwood, and let's dive into that matchup coming up here this week. We got Collingwood taking on Richmond. It looks like Richmond is not a big favorite, but they're a favorite nonetheless. I know that our betting odds are slightly different the way we speak about it from the U.S. to Australia to down under where you are. But I'm seeing that Richmond is a favorite here in this game. It is a -170 line, which means you have to bet $170 to win $100 on Richmond. So hopefully you understand how that translates to what you're looking at on your side of the world. Tell us who, you know, because if you're betting on Collingwood and you're betting 100, you're going to win 140. You're going to win 1.4 to 1 on your money if you bet on Collingwood. And you got to lay some juice if you're going to bet on Richmond. And I'm pretty sure you understand what I'm saying here. But just to make an apples to apples comparison here, what do you like here in this matchup coming up, Collingwood versus Richmond? Who has the better opportunity to score the victory? What are you looking for in this game? And will it be exciting? And which side would you like to take?
So this game, I suppose, is going to be a blockbuster. These are both old Victorian clubs, huge fan bases. Unfortunately, we're not playing with any crowds at the moment, so I think they're going to pipe in the crowd noises into the broadcast, but no doubt there'll be plenty of people in the pubs in Richmond and in Collingwood cheering these teams on. First game back after the hiatus, so you're very, very highly touted. Last year, Richmond won the premiership, so they won it all. They are a very, very good side. They've gone into this game with only one ruckman. So ruckman is the guy who stands in the middle, jumps up and contests the ball to start the game and after every goal. So basically you put a 7-foot guy in the middle and he runs around and taps the ball down to the midfielders. You need to see it to be able to completely understand their role, but they're usually pretty immobile compared to the smaller midfielders, as you can imagine. So the Tigers in this one have gone smaller. They've left out Toby Nankervis, who's a premiership ruckman, and gone in with Ivan Soldo, who is a younger guy, also a great ruckman up-and-comer. So I think they've gone fast. I think they're going to come out and I don't think they're going to blitz Collingwood. I think it's going to be an absolute blockbuster, but I still can't go past the Tigers on this one, Richmond. I think that's the pick. Marley and Pickett, fairy tale story last year, was picked up in the mid-season draft with a broken hand. They'd never played AFL, won a VFL premiership, won an AFL premiership the next week, which, yeah, it's just a fairy tale. Good Perth lad, so we're happy with him. And, yeah, I just think they'll be too good. I think Collingwood are a great side, but I'm sticking with Richmond with this one.
Great, great. Well, there's your pick there. Richmond minus $1.70 here in the U.S. And that one kicks off Thursday, June 10th at 5:40 a.m. My time, I believe. I think my computer synced up to the correct times. Next game that we're going to talk about and dig a little deeper, we got the West Coast versus Gold Coast game. West Coast is a major, major, major favorite here. They are minus 770 on the money line, which means you have to bet $770 to win 100. Tell me what's going on here in this matchup. What do you like? And it seems like they have a much better team. Why don't you kind of give us a little analysis, a rundown of this matchup and which side you like?
Yeah, so I'm, as I've talked about throughout, I'm a West Coast supporter. So for me, definitely all in on the West Coast. I think will win the premiership this year. They've added Tim Kelly in the off season, who was a great player at Geelong. He's come home to WA and, yeah, great addition to West Coast midfield. In terms of this matchup, the game's going to be played at the Gold Coast. We're in hub format at the moment due to coronavirus. So the West Coast Eagles, Fremantle Dockers, and the Gold Coast Suns and Brisbane Lions are all based in Queensland at the moment. So we'll play four games over there. And then come back and play in Perth for the second round hub, which will be in WA. Gold Coast have struggled out of the gates ever since they came into the league, which I think was about 2013 or thereabouts. They are an expansion club. They've rebuilt twice already. Don't really seem to know what's going on. And I don't know whether it's poor management or whatever it is. They've got a good coach up there, but they're really just struggling to put it together. I think Eagles are just a better side. Well put together from full forward to full back. There's some absolute guns. You've got Tommy Brass at full back. You've got Jeremy McGovern sent half back. Tim Kelly, Gaff, Shuey, all these big names. I could go all night about these guys. Big JK, Josh Kennedy playing at full forward. He's 34 or so this year, but having that coronavirus break has put him in allegedly in the best form of his career. So we're very excited to see what that bearded giant looks like coming back onto the ground, and I think Eagles are going to beat them by near on 100 points. I think we might absolutely belt them.
Wow. That's they seem like very heavy favorites here in this one, and should be a nice victory for your side here. And third game I want to talk about here, it's the showdown battle is what I'm hearing here, and it is Port Adelaide versus Adelaide. Adelaide is the underdog in this matchup. They are plus 190, so $100 will win you $190 back. And Port Adelaide seems like the big favorite here, minus $2.39 on the money line. Talk to us a little bit about this matchup. Give us a little preview and which side you like.
I like the Port Power. It is the favourite, and I've stuck with the favourites on this one, but purely because in the off-season or in the hiatus, we had training restrictions. All the AFL had training restrictions on the number of people you could train together. Adelaide had 16 players go out to the Barossa Valley, which is a wine region just outside of Adelaide, and train together. They got caught, so they've got 16 players that have been banned for the first round. So although they've got a little showdown, I think they're playing in front of a crowd, actually. They might actually have 2,000 people from what I've read in front of this. Big game for Port. I think they need to come in. They're actually, I think, on the top of the ladder after round one. They had a big win, I think, against Gold Coast, if I recall, back in March. And then so they'll be looking to double down and give the Crows a bit of a touch up. I think, yeah, the power to win. They've got a great side. Charlie Dixon is back. He is a big, big unit. I think he might be 6'7 or 6'8, about 110 kegs. He is a big, big unit. And playing at full forward, there's not many guys in that team, in the Adelaide side, that'll match up on him very well. So I think that he might kick two or three or maybe even four goals and might tear them apart. So very excited to see that. I think the Port Adelaide power will give them a bit of a go, and the Crows might fall a bit short in this one. But interesting, it's the only game played outside of the hubs. So there's only games in Victoria and in Queensland, and I think maybe one in Sydney as well. But besides that, in one of the unofficial hubs, these guys get to play each other in Adelaide due to their lower coronavirus levels compared to Victoria and New South Wales and Queensland. So, yeah, exciting. But I think the power will take that one out.
Now, I'm going to put you on the spot here. Any matchups this weekend where you think there might be a little value on an underdog?
Yeah, so I had a bit of a look. One that I think might come in, and this, it's difficult, but I think that Carlton might beat Melbourne. So that is on, what date is it?
It's on Saturday here, on Saturday. I think at 2:30 a.m. So just to give the listeners real quick, Melbourne is a $1.80 favorite. Carlton is plus 145 on the money line. So give us a little rundown on this matchup, and why do you think maybe Carlton can pull off this victory here?
Well, Carlton has some very good players. They got Patrick Cripps, who was one of the I think he was the first player ever last year to get the full votes that you could get after five rounds. He had 15 votes after five rounds in the AFL MVP award, the Brownlow medal. So that guy in himself, he's an absolute bull. I think with young Doherty coming back as well, the co-captain, he'll be back in this year as well in this round. I just think Melbourne are a team that can be so up and down. They've got Maxie Gawn at the ruck spot, who's an absolute star. But again, I just think Carlton, they've had a bit of a chance to get healthy, and they're an up-and-coming side. I think they might surprise a few people. I think Carlton might have a bit of sneaky value. I mean, I might eat my words, but there's some absolute studs on that team, so could happen.
Yeah, listen, as long as there's a little bit of a sweat and we can maybe win with an underdog, we'll take our chances, right? So I know before we got on here and we were talking offline, you said you might have put together a little multi, which is for us in the U.S. called a parlay card. Are you thinking about the three matchups, the four matchups we talked about as a multi, or did you kind of have anything else to add into that parlay card as well?
Yeah. So, I mean, probably that would be not a bad little multi as well. If I also do single game multis as well. So the platform that I use down in Australia, cause we can't use any of the American ones cause I don't know, laws, I guess. Basically, I think that I'd do a leading goal kicker as well. So in the West Coast, Gold Coast game, I think Josh Kennedy's going to kick over three goals. So that's not a bad little bet there. In terms
so basically,
of
the results, basically a prop bet.
If that, yeah, that's, I'm not sure that terminology, we have it different down here, but yeah. I suppose
we speak the same language, Lyle, but we have very many different sayings. It's been quite the adventure trying to keep up with some of the words you've been throwing out during this interview here.
Yeah, I mean, I'm confusing myself as well. So we're getting there. But yeah, so basically it'll be you pick a player who will kick the most goals, and there's odds on how many goals they'll kick, or how many disposals someone will get, so how many touches they get of the ball, so kicks and handballs.
Exactly. It's a prop bet. That's what we call it here.
Okay. Yeah. So that's what it is. Yeah. I'm learning. That's what we like. So the odds I'm looking at here, we've got $6.50 for the first goal scorer, which is Josh Kennedy. Don't know what that translates. I suppose 650, I guess.
I think it's probably 6.5 to 1, right? So that means if you're picking him to score the most goals in the game, you're going to get almost 7 to 1 on your money if he is actually, in fact, the goal scorer, the top goal scorer, correct?
Yeah, so that was for first goal scorer. So total goals.
That's for first goal scorer?
Yeah, that one.
Okay, so that makes sense. That makes sense. So 6.5 to 1 as the first goal scorer. It's kind of like who's going to have the first touchdown in the Chiefs Patriots game? Will it be Patrick Mahomes as a 5 to 1? Tyreek Hill 12 to 1. Travis Kelce 10 to 1. It's the same concept here.
Exactly. Yeah. So that's what I'd be looking at. I'd also be looking at Andrew Gaff to get 30 or more disposals. So that is another one that's sitting there. We've only got that at $3 sitting here. So, 3 to 1 that he'll get over 30 disposals. We're playing 16-minute quarters, but this guy just attracts the ball like a magnet. He gets hold of it. He looks fit. He looks strong. So that's probably another one if you were going to add it into your multi. Not that high, but if you combine it up, Eagles to win. Andrew Gaff and perhaps most goals, Josh Kennedy. I'd be pretty happy with that. That'll be not a bad little payout, I think.
Great. Well, Lyle, thank you so much for joining us here and giving me and the listeners a little bit of an education on Aussie rules. I know that I've really enjoyed brushing up and watching some highlights and some rule explanations before we came on here, and I'm really gotten to like it a little bit more as we've kind of had this conversation together. Lyle, for the listeners out there, where can they find you on Twitter? What's your handle?
So at Lyle Swithenbank. You have a look on a few of the different hoopball things. You'll see my last name floating around. It's a bit of there's a few letters in there, but at Lyle Swithenbank on Twitter. Host of Hoopball Pels, or the Pelicans podcast as well. So make sure you go over and have a look, and Saturday Night Lyle on the Hoopball Facebook page as well. So, doing a few different things. But, Twitter, at Lyle Swithenbank, and that's me.
We love it. Guys, I'm at Iris Silver Magic. We are at Hoopball Gaming on Twitter. Follow us along. You heard the picks here. Hopefully, we'll win some money this week, and we'll see you next time. Thank you so much for joining us, Lyle, and I will speak to you next time when we are going to dive into maybe a little bit of rugby.
Yeah, looking forward to it. Sounds good.
All right, Lyle, I'll talk to you soon. Thank you so much.
Cheers.
This has been a Hoopball presentation.
As humans, we're naturally driven by the search for better. But when it comes to hiring, the best way to search for a candidate isn't to search at all. Don't search, match with Indeed. When I was looking to hire someone, it was so slow and overwhelming. I wish I had used Indeed. If you need to hire, you need Indeed. Indeed is your matching and hiring platform, with over 350 million global monthly visitors according to Indeed data, and a matching engine that helps you find quality candidates fast. Ditch the busy work. Use Indeed for scheduling, screening, and messaging so you can connect with candidates faster. And Indeed doesn't just help you hire faster. 93% of employers agree Indeed delivers the highest quality matches compared to other job sites, according to a recent Indeed survey. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/podcast. That's Indeed.com/podcast. Terms and conditions apply.
If you own a vehicle with less than 200,000 miles and have an auto warranty about to expire or no warranty coverage at all, listen up. CarShield has a low-cost, month-to-month vehicle protection plan that covers more parts than ever. Visit carshield.com/audio to find out how you could pay almost nothing for covered auto repairs. Drivers who activate this vehicle protection today will also receive free roadside assistance, free towing, and car rental options at no additional cost. Get your free quote today at carshield.com/audio. That's carshield.com/audio.